The period between 1781 and 1789 was a critical juncture in American history, a time when the young nation struggled to define itself and its government. The Revolutionary War had been won, but the challenges of peace were in many ways even more daunting. The United States was now an independent nation, but it was also a fragile and fractious union of states, bound together by the Articles of Confederation. This first attempt at a national government was a bold experiment, but it was also deeply flawed, and its shortcomings would ultimately lead to a political landslide, the drafting of a new constitution. 1781 through 1789 was a landslide. The Articles of Confederation, adopted in 1781, were designed to create a loose alliance of states rather than a strong central government. This reflected the colonists' deep distrust of centralized authority, a legacy of their experience with British rule. Under the Articles, the federal government had limited powers. It could conduct foreign affairs, declare war, and manage relations with Native American tribes, but it lacked the authority to tax, regulate commerce, or enforce its laws. Each state retained its sovereignty, and major decisions required the approval of 9 out of 13 states, making it difficult to achieve consensus on critical issues. The weaknesses of the Articles of Confederation became apparent almost immediately. The federal government was chronically short of funds, unable to pay off the massive debts incurred during the Revolutionary War. Without the power to tax, it relied on voluntary contributions from the states, which were often slow or unwilling to pay. This financial instability undermined the nation's credit and made it difficult to secure loans from foreign governments. The lack of a unified economic policy also led to trade disputes between states, as each pursued its own interests at the expense of the common good. One of the most pressing challenges of this period was the question of Western lands. The Treaty of Paris had granted the United States vast territories west of the Appalachian Mountains, but there was no clear plan for how these lands should be governed or settled. The Northwest Ordinance of 1787, one of the few major achievements under the Articles, established a process for admitting new states to the Union and prohibited slavery in the Northwest Territory. This was a significant step, but it also highlighted the limitations of the Articles, as the federal government lacked the resources to enforce its policies or protect settlers from Native American resistance. The economic struggles of the 1780s came to a head with Shays' Rebellion in 1786 to 1787. This uprising of farmers in Massachusetts, led by Revolutionary War veteran Daniel Shays, was a protest against high taxes and foreclosures. The rebellion was eventually put down, but it sent shockwaves through the nation, exposing the fragility of the federal government and the potential for social unrest. Many leaders, including George Washington and Alexander Hamilton, saw Shays' Rebellion as a wake-up call, a sign that the Articles of Confederation were inadequate to the task of governing the nation. The growing sense of crisis led to calls for a stronger central government. In 1787, delegates from 12 states, Rhode Island declined to participate, gathered in Philadelphia for what would become the Constitutional Convention. Their original mandate was to revise the Articles of Confederation, but it quickly became clear that a more radical solution was needed. Over the course of 4 months, the delegates crafted a new framework of government, one that balanced the need for a strong central authority with protections for individual rights and state sovereignty. The Constitution, signed on September 17, 1787, was a political landslide, a dramatic and irreversible shift in the nation's governance. It established a system of checks and balances, dividing power among three branches of government, legislative, executive, and judicial, to prevent any one branch from becoming too powerful. It also created a bicameral legislature, with representation in the House of Representatives based on population and in the Senate equal for each state, a compromise that sought to balance the interests of large and small states. The road to ratification was not easy. The Constitution faced fierce opposition from anti-federalists, who feared that a strong central government would infringe on the rights of the states and individuals. The Federalist Papers, a series of essays written by Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay, were instrumental in making the case for ratification. In the end, the Constitution was ratified in 1788, and the new government took office in 1789, with George Washington as the first president. The period from 1781 to 1789 was a time of trial and error, of experimentation and adaptation. It was a time when the nation's leaders grappled with the challenges of building a stable and unified government, and when the flaws of the Articles of Confederation became impossible to ignore. The transition to the Constitution was a political landslide, a moment of profound change that set the stage for the nation's future. It was a reminder that the work of building a nation is never easy, but that the rewards of freedom and self-governance are worth the struggle.